Okay, so this is going to be somewhat of a Shabbos Shuvah drasha. No, it's not Shabbos. And we did this before Shabbos Shuvah, and again we'll do it on Shabbos Shuvah, but you'll have the advantage of having it. Maybe you'll go to Shabbos Shuvah drasha in your community, you'll have two Shabbos Shuvah drashas.
Oh, could you speak into the microphone? I have trouble hearing.
Sure. So I noticed that a certain Reform congregation, you know, before Slichas, a lot of times the shuls will put on a program before Slichas to attract people to come. This is not necessarily something you would see in an Orthodox shul, but this rabbi arranged, they had a showing of the jazz singer before Slichas. Now, this is not something that we would see in an Orthodox shul, but you know, from where people are coming from, if it's going to attract them, there is a message there. If you know, they showed not the original jazz singer with Al Jolson, but the later jazz singer with Neil Diamond. Familiar story about a cousin, a fifth generation cousin, and his son, for the cousin, and it was played by Sir Laurence Olivier, actually, a Lunceman of yours. And he goes off to Derech. He doesn't want to be, he wants to be a jazz singer, he doesn't want to be a cousin, and then his non-Jewish wife, Molly, remember, who was played by Lucy Arnaz, and she says to him, this is before Yom Kippur, and she says to him, I may be, now this is politically incorrect to say this, but these are words in the movie, I might be a shiksa, but I know that Yom Kippur is about forgiveness. So it's time to go back, right? So there is something to be said for such a program for people who are far removed from Torah, but I want to talk about forgiveness, the ethics of forgiveness. And it's a subject that crops up on Yom Kippur, and I want to try to discover whether or not it's a kind of a PS, because generally we think of Yom Kippur as tshuva, it's a time of repentance, right? Yom Slichu Mechilu. Is forgiveness also a central theme, or is it like kind of an add-on, or is it something much more? I think we're going to see that it is really something much more, and in fact Yom Kippur is a time for forgiveness, to ask forgiveness, and it's going to touch on a very touchy subject, you know, something that, a word in Yiddish which is very hard to translate, and it's a word that impacts on every family, and everybody, and that's broigus, right? Hard to translate broigus, but there's broigus that people carry with them. And Yom Kippur is a time to get rid of it. Now, really, asking for forgiveness is something that one should do the entire year. The Mat Ephraim points out in the Shulchan Aruch, in his Pirush in the Shulchan Aruch, that Yom Kippur is just the final deadline, right? And others, there's the Eshel Avrom, one of our commentaries points out that there's it's good that you have that time, because sometimes time heals, you know? You have all that time so you can work on it and get to that forgiveness, but it doesn't always work, waiting it out. It doesn't always work, as we will soon see. Now I want to start with number one on the sheet. We're not going to do everything on the sheet. We won't be able to get through the whole thing, but we'll get hopefully the main body of what we want to say about forgiveness. So here, you know, generally we think, you know, Mechila, you just ask Mechila, that's all you have to do. You know, I remember a few years ago a lady in my shul sent out 500 emails, you know, we're in the age of emails, asking for mechila by email. And she CC'd me. So when everybody that got the email saw that I got a copy of it. Now why she did that, maybe she felt that, well, if the rabbi knows she's doing it, so they've got to respond, right? So they won't be embarrassed. But really, I started to get emails, did you have anything to do with this? Right, this is a way to ask mechila? Do you know what she did to me? You know, it created a storm. I mean, and unfortunately, people do today in this electronic media age. People ask mechila through the email, which is really not sufficient. But I want to show you that to the extent one should go to, at least in the Sephardic tradition. And this is a beautiful halachic comment from the Ben Ish Chai in number one. And this is his instructions to the community on Erev Yom Kippur. Kol Adam Yinashek Yidei Aviv V'Imo Be'erev Yom Kippur. Everybody should kiss the hand of his mother or father and father on Erev Yom Kippur. Kodem She'elech L'Beit HaKnesset, before you go to Shul. V'Yivakesh Mehem Mechila, and ask forgiveness. V'davar zeh hu chiyuv gadol al kol adam. This is an obligation on everyone. U'mi she'eino oseh kein, nikra chote u'mizalzel b'chvod aviv v'imo. And anyone who does not do this is a sinner and is insulting mother and father. De'im bein adam l'chavero chivo chachamim zichronam l'vracha l'vakesh mechila kodim yom ha-kippur. If the Torah demands, if the rabbis demand that we ask mechila of our friends, Kol shekein me'aviv v'imo, all the more so mother and father. She'ein adam nitzul, ein adam nitzol mi'chet zeh b'chol yom. Person, you know, we run into this problem every day. V'im ha'ben shotev lo bikesh. If the child is foolish and he doesn't ask mechila, hey nitnu lo mechila. The parents give him mechila anyway. She'omru mefiyem, and they articulate, anochi mochel livni ploni al kol ma shechatali. I forgive my child so and so for what he did. Mechila gemura, complete forgiveness. V'chein habal yitein mechila l'ishto. Listen carefully to this because I want to show you something in two in a minute. And the husband also should ask mechila from his wife. Al asher biz beza min habayit shelo kitzono. For the things that he did affronts to her. V'chein kol talmid sheyesh lo rav b'ir. A student should go to his rabbi. Yelech etzlo, he should go to him. Kodem yom ha-kippur v'yivakesh b'meno v'chein ask mechila. This certainly trumps, you know, the hurried birchat habanim that we do before Yom Kippur, before we go to shul. We quickly bless our children. But this is just a beautiful formulation, and it shows you that asking forgiveness is quite a serious business. But I just want to point out that in number two, this is Yechavedas, this is from Rav Avadya Yosef, where he quotes this, he brings this whole Ben Ish Chai, and I've just taken out two lines here because he edits it to make it politically correct for the 21st century. V'chein habal v'ha'isha yimchalu ze leze al kol asher chatu echad l'ploni. The husband and the wife each ask each other forgiveness, right? It's a level playing field, right? So he brings the Ben Ish Chai with this little addition. I just thought that was very cute, very appropriate, but it just points out that we're dealing with a kind of a heavy subject here. Now, let's begin. Where is the beginning of Mechila? Is really in the Chumash. And it's number three on the sheet. It's a Mishnah in Bava Kamma. And the Mishnah quotes a well-known story. And the Mishnah brings the halacha. Afal pishu noten lo, if a person took something from somebody. So even though he gave it back to him, you know, now we're even Stephen, not good enough. He's not forgiven until he asks for forgiveness. Shenemar, as we learn, v'ata hashev eshet, etc. In other words, where do we learn this from? From the story of Abraham and Avimelech. Remember when the story, we'll get to it in a few weeks, Abraham and Avimelech and Sarah, their lives are in danger, so he tells Sarah, you know, say you're not married, you're not my wife. Avimelech takes her. When he finds out that Sarah is Avram's wife, he gives her back, and he asks Mechila, he asks for forgiveness. There's a whole story there of forgiveness. Now, that's the origin in the Torah of asking forgiveness, which really, if you think about it, is very strange. That forgiveness, asking forgiveness, which we'll see is such a central motif in Yom Kippur and in our lives, that it was not presented as a mitzvah. It's not presented, you know, imata chovel bechavercha tzarech livakesh mimena mechila. That if you do something wrong, you have to ask mechila. Or imishu mivakesh mimecha mechila, if someone asks mechila from you, you know, you have to forgive him. No, it's brought as a narrative. It's brought as a story. And that's a very significant point, which we will hopefully understand as we go along. That the whole issue of asking forgiveness and granting forgiveness is a narrative. It's a story. It's not presented as a halacha. And really, we're just to give you a kind of a hint of where we're going, it's not always one size fits all. The whole idea, you're dealing with human beings and human nature and human feelings. So really, the story of forgiveness is a narrative. It's hard to quantify it into a box, as we'll soon see. But let's see, the Shulchan Aruch does do that, and it starts in the Gemara. This is number four. This is the last Mishnah in Masechet Yuma, the laws of Yom Kippur. And here, the Mishnah says, it's the Gemara in Yuma, our oral tradition, the Gemara presents two points. Number one, Averot Shebein Adam L'Makom, sins between man and God, Yom HaKippurim Mechaper, Yom Kippur takes care of, period. That's point number one. You ask forgiveness, God forgives you. Number two, Averot Shebein Adam L'Chavero, sins between man and his fellow, Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper, Yom Kippur does not atone, Ad She'iratzeh Et Chavero, until you appease your friend. Okay? That's 2 points, right? Seemingly 2 points. Now, number five. Number four, that's right. Go to number five. This is the Rambam. This is how the Rambam codifies this as a halakha, as our practice. And notice what the Rambam does with this. We're going to ask four or five questions on these three little laws in the Rambam, which will hopefully lead us to some direction. So here the Mishnah presented two ideas. Number one, mitzvahs between man and God, between Adam and Lamakon, Yom Kippur takes care of. Number two, mitzvahs between man and man, Yom Kippur is not enough. You have to, you Yom Kippur, and you have to ask forgiveness. Listen to the Rambam. Ein hatshuva, this is in the laws of asking forgiveness, the laws of tshuva. Ein hatshuva velo Yom HaKippurim mechaprim ela averot shebein Adam Lamakon. Yom Kippur does not forgive except for mitzvahs between, averas between man and God. And he gives examples if you took something, etc. Aval, the second line, averot shebein adam l'chavero. But he continues, but those missteps between man and man, like hitting him or cursing him or stealing from him, eino nimcha lo la'olam. He's never, ever forgiven. Ad she'yitein l'chavero mashu chayav lo, until he gives him back what he took. V'yiratzehu. And he appeases him. He asks for forgiveness. Now, notice that what the Rambam does. He took two seemingly different things and tied them together. He's like leading up to a point. You know, he starts off by saying, don't think that Yom Kippur is the only, it's only Yom Kippur you should know that you can ask forgiveness from God and that's it. But mitzvahs between man and man, that's not good enough. You've got to ask forgiveness. He's tying the two together. He's making these two seemingly disparate ideas, man and God, man and man, he's tying them together, right? And now, here's the next question. He says, with man, you've got to ask forgiveness. Now, we've mentioned many times that the Rambam, there's never an extra word in the Rambam. The Rambam never repeats things. But here, listen to this. He just finished telling us you have to ask forgiveness, right? Continue in line three at the end. Afal pishi hi exilo maman shuhu chayev lo. Even though he returned the money, he owes it. Tzarich lirtzoso v'lishol mimenu shimcholo. He has to appease him and ask forgiveness. Lishol mimenu sheyimcholo. He has to ask forgiveness so that the guy will say, I forgive you. What's going on? Why does he have to repeat this? Why is the Rambam repeating that you have to appease him? And he adds to it. He says, you have to appease him. It's formulaic. There has to be a dialogue. I ask you forgiveness for what I did to you, and the guy has to say back to him, I forgive you. Why is he adding this? Keep going. Afilu lo hiknit et chavero ela bitvarin. Even if he only verbally abused his friend. Tzarech lefaisa. Again, he has to appease him. By the way, the English word appease comes from the Hebrew lefayes, payes, to appease, right? The dictionary might say Old Latin or something like that, but it comes from Lashon Kodesh. Ulefagabo, and to find him, he has to chase him, he has to look for him. Ad sheyimcholo, until he forgives him. Again, there's this third repetition. Okay, then the Rambam goes on. What happens if he doesn't forgive you? You have to take people three times, you have to make every effort. And if he doesn't, no, Nebuch, it's there's nothing you can do. Now, Yudal, this is what we want to focus on. This is the last question. Hachote lechaveiro. Listen carefully to every word. Hachote lechaveiro. If someone sins to his chaver, his friend, umeit chaveiro. He repeats it again, which seems to be extra because he just say hachote lechaveiro umeit. You know, but Nebuch, what happens? He sinned against this guy, you know, and he decides, you know what? I'm going to go ask forgiveness for him. 20 years we haven't talked, you know, we have a business partnership, we broke up. I'm going to go to him, and he reads, he opens up, he sits down, he's right after breakfast, I'm going to go. He comes home from Slichas, he sits down and has breakfast, and he's reading his newspaper, he looks in the obituary, and lo aleinu, this guy died. What do you do? Is there a way out? Yes, there is. Before you had a chance to ask Mechila, he died. Mevi asara bnei adam, you take a minion, umaamidan al kivro, you go to the cemetery and you go to his kever. Vaomer bifneim, and you say in front of the minion, what do you say? Listen carefully. Chatati l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael, I sinned to God. Ulepsloni zeh. Sha'asiti lo kach v'kach. And to ploni ze, to so-and-so, ploni. So first of all, number one, what's God got to do with this? Just finished telling me, if you did something wrong to your chaver, and your chaver dies, here's what you do. Take a minion, go to the cemetery and say, I sinned against God. What does God have to do this? And to my chaver. But it doesn't say my chaver. It says ploni. Ploni is like so-and-so. Ploni's not such a, it's kind of a dehumanizing terminology for a person, like Ploni Almoni in Megillat Ruth. It's not a very, you know, all of a sudden he's not a chaver anymore, he's Ploni. You've sort of sapped the life out of him and made him a dehumanized human. He was a human, but you're to God and to Ploni, and he keeps repeating the forgiveness, and he ties it all in together, doesn't make it two separate things. What's going on? What's going on here? The Rambam is really, between the words of the Rambam here, Rambam is telling us an enormous chiddush, an enormous fundamental nuance in Torah. The Rambam is telling us, number one, by repeating the ritzui, the appeasement, it's not good enough to say, you know, the guy comes to you and gives you back the thing he took from you, whatever. All right, forget it. Forget it, it's okay. It's not good enough. Not good enough. You tzarech liyotzoso v'lishol mimenu, it has to be formulated. It has to be, I know, I have to ask you, please forgive me for what I've done. Do you forgive me? And he has to answer you, yes, I forgive you, right? And then it's repeated again. It's repeated again. And then it's about God and Ploni. What's this all about? You know what the Rambam is telling us? When you're asking Mechila to a person who you wronged, it's not only that person. You know, it's like the laws of euthanasia in Torah. Pulling a plug, Rahman al-Islam. Someone's on a respirator. We know the halacha. Person cannot write, pull the plug if I'm so-and-so, if I'm like this. You're not allowed. Why can't I do that according to Torah? Right? The doctors want you to do that. The hospital wants you to do that. They need the beds. But the Torah doesn't allow you to do it. Why? Because it's not my decision. I am Tzelem Elokim. I am created in the image of God. We're all created in the image of God. A human being is both a human being, but he also has godliness to him. When you ask forgiveness to this person, you're asking forgiveness to God also. There's a dual asking of forgiveness here. And that's why the Rambam repeats it. And that's why the person has to stand by the kever and say, I sinned against God and Ploni. I'm de-emphasizing his humanness for a moment in order to emphasize the fact that it's not just the human being I'm asking forgiveness to, it's God himself. I sin against a person, another person, I sinned against a Jew, I'm sinning against God because he's created B'Tzelem Elokim in the image of God. I'm sinning against man and I'm sinning against God. Hence, the double language. That's the double language. And in fact, you see this by other Rishonim and other Sforim. We're not going to go through this, but in 7, you have Rav Elchanan Wasserman, who was the great student of the Chafetz Chaim, and he points out, based on a Rosh in Masech Tepeya, that mitzvot bein adam l'chaveiro are more important to perform than mitzvot bein adam l'makom. Why? Because a mitzvah, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, includes Bein Adam L'Malka. When you do a mitzvah between man and man, you're also doing something to God, for God. Right? Now, to what extent? To what extent? So you might say to yourself, okay, listen, I'm one out of two. I'm batting 500. I sit in shul all day Yom Kippur. I ask God to forgive me. God, at least I'll take care of Bein Adam L'Malka. You know, God has to forgive me. Why? He's God. He's God. God, he's going to have to forgive you, right? He's going to have to forgive me, right? So, you know, listen carefully. In number eight, I'm going to do this outside, right? This is the Pachad Yitzchak from Rav Hutner, and it is absolutely brilliant. What he basically is going to tell us is that if you don't take care of your Bein Adam L'Malka, your Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, you don't even get your Bein Adam L'Malka. Now, this is a scary business here, right? But listen how it works. Yom Kippur is referred to in the Torah as Lifnei Hashem Titaru, before God. We have a relationship, we're before God, right? Now that term, Lifnei Hashem, is used in the Torah many times, but it's used exclusively, almost, referring before God to a holy place, to a physical place in the cosmos, in the universe. It's referring to either in the Beit HaMikdash, the Azorah, the Heichal, the Kodshei Kodshim, Yerushalayim in general, right? The only place in the Torah, the exception, the bleep on the radar screen, where Lifnei Hashem does not refer to a physical place in the universe, is Yom Kippur, where Lifnei Hashem is a place in the heart. It's a Nekuda Sheva Nefesh. It's a spiritual place. Lifnei Hashem, one has to be Lifnei Hashem before God. His heart has to be before God, pure before God. Now that's the exception to the rule. So here's what Rav Hutner says. It's an exception, but it still has to follow the rules of all the other regular Lifnei Hashem, which is in a physical place in the universe. What's the most important aspect of the use of Lifnei Hashem, which refers to a physical place? It can only refer to a place where all of Klal Yisrael can come. In the Torah, Lifnei Hashem, you have to go Lifnei Hashem, the Torah says. It can only be a place where a sacrifice is offered for everybody. It's never used for a korban yachid, for a private sacrifice, for a bamat yachid, when they offered private sacrifices. Lifnei Hashem is a phrase that's used only when the entire collective of Klal Yisrael, the whole Tzibur, every single Jew, is engaged. That's called Lifnei Hashem. So he says, if that's the case, then the one exception of Lifnei Hashem that doesn't refer to a physical place in the universe, but refers to a spiritual place in the heart, has to be a place. Your heart has to be open to every single Jew. And if your heart is closed to one Jew, you're not Lifnei Hashem. Because that's the basic, fundamental quality of Lifnei Hashem. That it's open for everybody. Just like Yerushalayim is open for everybody. The Jew's heart has to be open to everybody. And if your heart's not open to everybody on Yom Kippur, you're not Lifnei Hashem. So not only do we not get forgiveness for mitzvot, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, if we didn't deal with the forgiveness factor, but we don't even get forgiveness for Bein Adam L'Malka. So, you know, Yom Kippur is a tense time. It's a scary business. And we're worried about the Ribbono Shel Olam. But maybe we should be a little more worried about how we're dealing with our friends and about ourselves, right? And the halacha kind of ends here. This is the halacha. These are the halachas of asking forgiveness. Now, you know that there has to be something beyond halacha. Because just like, you know, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch for the laws of marriage, you'll see, you know, there's a few ideas there. But it's only the beginning. It's only a basis, right? Anybody who's been married and is married or wants to be married understands that there's a lot to marriage that it's kind of hard to put down in the Shulchan Aruch, right? Because after you have the basis, we build on the basis with a narrative. And the rabbis of the Talmud, Chazal, were very realistic. This is it. This is forgiveness. But then they present four stories, and that's in nine. The rabbis present four stories, a narrative of tshuva, which will give us a glimpse into, and will help us, because tshuva is, we started with a narrative, remember. The presentation of forgiveness in the Torah was a narrative. It wasn't black and white, you got to do this, you got to do that. It was a story of Avram and Sarah and Avimelech and the tension that went on, and you know, the human dimension. It's not one size fits all. Now, I saw in September 2009, actually it was September, I wrote it down. September 4th, 2009 issue of Psychology Today. Now I looked at my calendar last night, and I have one of these 100-year calendars. We're actually getting to the end of that calendar. I don't know if any of you remember using the Birnbaum Machzor on Yom Kippur. You remember, and Birnbaum Machzor has a page where he lists what day Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is going to go forever. When I was a little kid, I used to look at that. You know what the last year is in the Birnbaum Machzor? 2012. Remember, you used to look at that was the dates, you know, way in the future. It's the last year in the Birnbaum Machzor. Anyway, I looked at my 100-year calendar, whatever it is, and September 4th, 2009, came out in Parshat Vayelech, Shabbos Shuva. Came out of it. Now, interesting. But this is a non-Jewish psychologist by the name of Dr. Ryan Howes, and he writes an article about the four elements of forgiveness. The four elements of forgiveness. And these are the four elements, he says. Letting go, number one, to be able to let go. Number two, express your emotion. Number three, rebuild a safety. Make sure you have a safe environment. And number four, understand why you're asking forgiveness. Like, do you really understand what you did to the person, right? Now, I want to, by the way, I neglected to mention before when we were dealing with that Rambam, with all those questions, there's one additional point which is important for us now. Why the dialogue? Why the formulitic approach? Because since God is involved, it has to mirror the laws of tshuva with God, which is the first halacha the Rambam brings in Hilchos Tshuva, Vidui. You have to say to God, Al chet shechatasi lefanecha with so and so. And just like between man and God, there's a formula. You have to speak to him and he answers us. So too, when we ask forgiveness of man, as we showed, since God is also being asked for forgiveness, that's why you have this to and fro, the repetition of the, hence the repetition of the Rambam. So now we've got these four elements of asking forgiveness. So I want to demonstrate that these four elements really are part of four stories that the rabbis bring, that Chazal bring in the Gemara after the halacha. And they bring this, not this is not a halacha, and you'll see, but because every situation is different. So we'll go through these four Gemaras and try to bring out a little bit from each one. So the first one is in 9. There's an incident here. Rabbi Yirmiya Havalei Milsa L'Rabbi Abba Ba'adei. Rabbi Abba had grounds for a grievance against Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya wronged, Rabbi Yirmiya wronged Rabbi Abba, right? So what did he do? Ozel Esev Adashit B'Rabbiya. He sat himself down at the door, outside of the door of Rabbi Abba, right? So here you go. Rabbi Yirmiya was the guy who did the wrong thing. But he wanted to ask forgiveness now. So he planted himself, he set up a tent, you know, like just like over here. He set himself a tent out in front of Rabbi Abba's house. So he's sitting there, he's gonna wait, he's gonna break down Rabbi Abba, he's gonna come on, okay, I'll accept the forgiveness, right? So what happens? Meanwhile, Rabbi Abba's maid was throwing out the wastewater from the upstairs, right? And the water hit him on the head, Rabbi Yirmiya. So what happened? So, Asuni Kashpa, they made me into a garbage heap, he said. Kara Nashi, he said, you know, okay, this is a good thing, Nashpot Yarim Evyon. From the trash heaps, God raises the destitute. Maybe this is a sign that things are going to be good. I was humiliated a little bit. What happened? Shama Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba, who was wronged. Now see how the tables are turned. Rabbi Abba, who was the victim, right? Of the cruelty, so to speak, whatever it was of Rabbi Yirmiya. Now the tables turned. Rabbi Abba now feels guilty. He came out to greet him. And he said to Rabbi Yirmiya, Hashtat Sarichna Lamepek Adaitech. Now I have to ask you for forgiveness. Right? So this is a beautiful story. It shouldn't happen this way, right? It's a kind of a humiliating way that it came out, but this is a kind of letting go. Letting go. Now, I brought here, again, we're not going to get into everything because of the constraints of time, but a very excellent book at the threshold of forgiveness by Moshe Havertal, who's a professor at Columbia University, and he brings these stories, and what he says, what happens here is there's now a level playing field. But if we apply it to Dr. Howe's theory, this is the letting go, right? Rebaba let go. He let go. Okay, enough is enough. And look what happened. You have to let go. You have to let go. You know, they tell a story of King Frederick Wilhelm of Prussia. He was the father of Frederick the Great in the 18th century. So he was dying on his deathbed, and the pastor came in, and he says, okay, you have to forgive everybody that you did something wrong to. You're dying now. You have to forgive everybody. Even my brother-in-law. Even your brother-in-law, right? So he calls his, he tells his wife to bring him a pen and a paper, and he writes a letter, he gives it to her, seal it. And he says to his wife, give it to him, but don't give it to him until after I die. Right? He didn't let go. He didn't let go. Rabbi Abba let go. Letting go, that's the first element. Let's go to the next element. The next element is to express your emotion. Create an environment where you can express your emotion. So here's the next story. Rabbi Zeira ki havale milsa bahadei inish. Whenever Rabbi Zeira would have grounds for a grievance against someone, someone hurt Rabbi Zeira somehow. So what did he do? Have a chalif etane lekame. He'd always walk in front of him. You know, wherever that guy went, oh, there's Rabbi Zeira again. He would jump in front of the guy. He would make sure. He knew his schedule. He went to shul, he was there sitting in front of him. He went to the supermarket, shopping, he was there in the next row with him. Right? He went everywhere. He kept to try to make himself available. Why? He says, "Denesi v'nepa plei midaite," so that the offender would come and he'd appease him. You know, he wanted to create an atmosphere in order to express the emotion, right? And he himself was expressing, I want to forgive you. He wanted to let him know, don't be afraid, I'm here. I'm not running away from you. I'm not making it difficult. I'm making it easy for you. Okay, the next one is to rebuild the safety. Now remember we said at the beginning that Yom Kippur is the absolute deadline for asking forgiveness, but you should do it all year long. But the Eshel Avram points out that there's a benefit to having that late extended, you know, like income tax, you know, the extended day. It gives you time to get it together that this is what you should do, but it doesn't always work. And here's a case where it didn't work because there was no, the safety was not there. So this is a story of Rav Havale Milsa Bahadei Ahutafa. Rav had a grievance against a certain butcher. The butcher did something wrong to Rav. So Lo Asla come in, and the butcher did not come to Rav the whole year to ask forgiveness. Rav was the rabbi, right? So what did Rav do? He took the law into his own hands. He didn't want to come to me. I'm gonna go in his face, right? So B'mala Yom Kippur, Er Yom Kippur, Amar Yehu, he said, Ezel Ana Lefusei Le. I'm gonna go to allow to affect forgiveness. I'm gonna go and put myself in his face so he'll ask me forgiveness. Pagabe Rav Huna, as he was going, his student Rav Huna saw him. And he asked him, you know, where are you going? Where's Rebbe going? He said, Lefaizelim, I'm going to the butcher to get mechila. Rav Huna said, Azal Avala Mikatal Nafshi, this is not good. This is not good. Someone's going to get killed. Rav Huna saw, the hero of this story is Rav Huna, right? Not Rav. Rav Huna saw that the butcher was not ready. If he didn't come to you the whole year, you know, I know the butcher. He's not ready yet, you know? So he goes, Azel to come, he goes to the butcher right in front of him. Havayasivika Pali Ratio. He stood before the butcher, and while he was there, the butcher was breaking bones. You know, he was chopping, he was gonna hack the flesh there, like you're going to a butcher, right? The butcher raised his eyes and saw him. And he said to Rav, Abba, aren't you? Zeal Lesli Milsabade, get out of my shop. I have nothing to do with you. And as he was breaking the bone, he was knocking bones. Ishtamit garma umachye bekove vekatle. A bone flew into the throat of the butcher and it killed him. Right? Now, obviously there was no safety, right? You have to know, everybody's different. So you have to know, is it ready to just maybe send a message, send an intermediary? There are ways of doing this. You just don't all of a sudden, you know, who knows what kind of a situation. We all know of situations. It's not so simple just to go and ask Mechila and to force the issue. Sometimes you force the issue, it's not going to work. So the fourth, and really I think the most important, and this is a strange story, but I think we'll see, this is the fourth element that this Ryan House brings out of understanding why. You have to know what you're asking Mechila for. Okay? Now listen to this story. This is story number four. Rav Pasik Sidra Kamei Derebe. Rav was repeating over a Dvar Torah on the Chumash to one of the rabbis. And in came Rabbi Chia, he came in and went back to the beginning and he said it over. Bar Kappar came in, he again started. You know, everybody who taught, any rabbi who's teaching a shir, people come in late, you're saying something important, you go back to the beginning. You know, unfortunately for those who did come a little late, I couldn't go back to the whole beginning here of the Drosha. But you know, he kept going back to the beginning, right? His Rebbe comes in after three times. The fourth person that comes in is Rebbe Chanina Bar Chama, who's his own teacher. And he says, listen, how many times am I going to go and repeat this? So he doesn't go back, he just continues. What happens? Rebbe Chanina is insulted. His Rebbe, his teacher, is insulted. He took offense, right? So Rav, Azal Rav Lagabe B'mal Yom Kippur, he went to the Erev Yom Kippur, listen to this. He went to Tlesar Mala Yom Kippur. For 13 years he went before him on Erev Yom Kippur and he didn't forgive him. Okay? We'll come back to this. Vehechi Avihach, how could he do this? Bahamur Reb Yossi Bar Chanina, you know, you're supposed to be forgiven. You ever ask for forgiveness, you have to give forgiven. Three times is the limit. Rav was different. You know, Rav was different. And how could Rav Chanina, so Rav Chanina says like this. Rav Chanina had a dream about Rav. The Zakfu, very strange dream. The Zakfu, what they call it, he dreamt that Rav was hanging from a palm tree. Ugemiria, we have a tradition. The called the Zakfu, what they call it. It's known through tradition that anyone who's hung from a palm tree, Reishahav, will become a Rosh Hashiva, become a rabbi. Right? Maybe because he was hanging upside down, who knows? But that's the tradition. So he said, listen, you know what's going on here? Rav Chanina said to himself, Shmamina. Boy, let me have a reshuta. He wants to take over my position. I'm not going to forgive him. Let him not become the Rosh Hashiva here in Israel, in Israel. Let him go to Bavel rather than be in Eretz Yisrael. Because if he becomes the Rosh Hashiva, so he bought, so to speak, 13 more years of his life. If Rav would take over for him the academy, the yeshiva, then Rav Chanina would die. This is a very strange story. First of all, do you really believe that Rav Chanina, after 13 Yom Kippurs, he didn't forgive him? It's inconceivable. So I want to suggest what's going on here is that, you know, 13 is a number that the rabbis use very often. Just as an example for a number, you know. There's a Gemara in Brachas, actually. For those who were learning Daf Yomi, a few weeks ago there was a Gemara in Brachas, Daf Chaf, that used the number 13. You know, as a metaphor. Somebody was saying, how come in previous generations there were miracles, in our generation there were no miracles? So the rabbi answered him, he said, listen. And he said, listen, by us, in the old times, they used to learn a particular Masechta of Talmud, and they had one interpretation. We learned it, we have 13 different interpretations of this Talmud. So 13 is a metaphor number, but 13 also, we know, represents something. What is 13? It's the age of majority. It's when a child becomes a bar mitzvah, when a kata, when a child, when a baby, an immature child becomes a man, hopefully, becomes a gadol, mechuyev mitzvah. What Rabbi Chanina was saying here was something very deep. Rav is asking Mechila, what are you asking Mechila for? Well, listen, you know, I repeated this Gemara for everybody else, but I didn't repeat it for you, and you're my Rebbe, and I didn't repeat the Gemara for you. So I'm asking Mechila. He said, you think that's what you did? You think that's what bothered me? You think that's the extent of what you did, just that you didn't repeat the Gemara, your vort for me? Do you understand subconsciously that you want really that I should pass away?
that I should, you should become the Rosh Hashiva. You have a desire to become the Rosh Hashiva. And that's what you have to understand, you have to ask Mechila for. You have to grow up. Mechila is not a child's game. You remember when we were children and the kids play with one another. I'm not going to be Mechila you on Yom Kippur. I'm not going to be Mechila you on Yom Kippur if you don't give it back to me, give me my ball back. Well, Mechila is not a game. You can't do Mechila by sending an email, right? Rav wanted him to grow, Rav Chanina wanted Rav to grow up. That's the pshat, that's what it means on 13 Yom Kippurs. It's not 13 Yom Kippurs. He wanted him to stop being a child, to stop viewing Mechila as a cotton. You're not asking me just simply about that I didn't repeat the Torah when I came into the Beis Medrash. There's something much more at play here. There's something much deeper here about what you did wrong to me, how you wronged me. And when you realize that, I'll ask you forgiveness. I'll obviously give you forgiveness. So, you see, the last number on the page is 12. This is the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch of forgiveness. And I just want to draw your attention. It basically brings what we saw in the Rambam. I just want to draw your attention to the last two lines. This is the Rambam's addition to this halacha. And the Rambam writes, V'hamochel lo yachzori bilimcho. When somebody comes to you and says, listen, please forgive me, I wronged you, right? Don't be achzori, don't be cruel. Forgive the person. Here's the exception. Im lo shemechaven letovat hamevakesh. Unless your stalling to forgive is for the good of the person. Not that you want to make him squirm and you want to make him grovel, but that you want to make him understand what he did wrong, like in this case with Rabbi Chanina. Then what are you asking Mechila for? Right? You understand what you did. You understand what you did. You really understand what you did to me. And you really are putting it away that I'm going to forgive you. So this story of Rabbi Chanina really, in a certain sense, is here, creeps into the Shulchan Aruch a little bit in our experience. Now, that's the story of asking forgiveness, quite complicated, right? It's a complicated issue, but as I said before, you know, we worry about how the Rabbanu Shlom, how we can stand before the Rabbanu Shlom, but we should also be worried about how we stand with our friends, also how we stand with ourselves. There is something that might help. There's a book that was written by a Dr. Ira Bayak. Dr. Ira Bayak is a palliative care doctor, spent decades as a palliative care doctor. He wrote a book called The Four Things That Matter Most. And he writes in this book that what he does in the palliative care unit, he puts with scotch tape behind the bed of his patients four sayings that for the patient, when the visitor comes in, should see these four things. Please forgive me. I forgive you. Thank you, and I love you, right? The four things that matter most. Now, you know, when it comes to tshuva, the Mishnah says, try to get rid of that Yetzer Hara and bring it to the Beis Medrash. If that doesn't work, if all else fails, think about the day of death. That'll make us do tshuva, right? But I think that also is a metaphor for asking forgiveness, this metaphor. Unfortunately, when we're faced in our lives, in our families, with our friends, in our circle, with someone who's lo aleinu, dying, right? So, you know, that, you know, all bets are off. We're going to deal with the forgiveness issue. But why wait for that moment? You know, how many times, as a rabbi over the years, people would come to me crying that, you know, I was too late with a grandparent, with a parent, with a spouse, a sibling, a friend. I should have said I'm sorry, and I just didn't. I should have said I love you, right? And saying I'm sorry is really an expression of I love you, right? So I think the challenge for us is, during the Aser Shemei Tshuva, is to confront this very difficult, very human dimension of asking forgiveness, and to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes, Chazal recognizes. It's you know, you have to have different approaches with different people. That's the beauty of our tradition. You see, the halacha stops at a certain point, and the narrative takes over. And the whole beginning of this concept of forgiveness began with a narrative, because it's really, we have to write the story. We have to write the story of forgiveness. And hopefully we'll write a good story that will be moichel everybody, and will come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lifnei Hashem Tetaru. So I want to wish everybody a gemar chasimah tov and a good gevesh for a healthy year.
Excuse me, could you just repeat?